Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky. I want to wish everybody a good Yontif, a good Moed. And this week, I chose, usually what I do during Chol Hamoed Sukkos is discuss the parasha of Zos HaBracha. It's one of the most important sedras in the Chumash, and yet it gets short shrift because we don't have a special Shabbos for it. We get rid of it quickly on Simchas Torah, and we don't sit down and actually learn the parasha. And it's very interesting to note the way I titled the parasha isn't really what I wanted to express, even though it does make a huge difference between what Yaakov says and what Moshe says to the Shvatim. But it also highlights the growth of some of the Shvatim and the lack of growth of some others. And one in particular, the one that stands out the most, of course, is Shevet Shimon. And while Yaakov laces it into Shimon v'Levi Achim Klei Chamos Mecheroseihem, and Achal Kein B'Yaakov, Afitzein B'Yisrael, he said their anger is enough to spread out throughout of Israel. Moshe just leaves him out totally, and from all the Shvatim that he gives a bracha to, he doesn't even mention Shimon, which is interesting in general because Moshe, it seems, the way I presented it previously the last couple of weeks, is that Moshe never intended for this parasha to take place, and according to some of Farshim, what was generally happened now that after Moshe finished writing the Sefer Torah and he gave it to the Levium to put in the Aron after Parshas Vayelech, Atumam, until the Sefer Torah and he gave it to the Levium to put it in the Aron Kodesh and finished. But then he lapsed into song and God told him to include Hazinu in the Sefer Torah, so he had to add that as well. But God told him at that point in time, according to some of Farshim, don't leave things in a bad way. One should always leave his people on a good note, and you order with, it would be nice if you gave them a bracha before you left. And therefore it says, viz dos ha-bracha, and therefore this is the bracha. And the interesting thing right away, the word that it says, l'fnei moso, why does it have to say l'fnei moso? Because it's obvious it was l'fnei moso. But it wants us to highlight the fact that, generally speaking, before a person dies, the last words out of his mouth are generally going to be the truth. And that's why we have a saying in the Gemara, Divrei Shiv Meirach, Yechsum V'Kamsurim Dami. Somebody says something on his deathbed, he generally means it with his full heart. And if he gives a gift, he doesn't need to write a contract to say that I bequeath this to somebody else. It's a done deal. He wouldn't say it on his deathbed otherwise. People don't lie as they're leaving the world. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who sees the future, he starts to lapse into the vision of what he's saying, and he wants to let everybody know that this is the truth. He says, Ishu Elokim, which means you should know that I'm a Navi and I see the future, and this is what I'm about to say. And now we see that when we get to Reuven, and it says, Yehi Reuven v'al yamos v'hiv misav mispar, and the Reuven should live and not die, and his numbers should be, he should be a great shevet, he should grow in numbers, till tremendous amount of numbers and strength and everything. And this is to juxtapose it with what Yaakov says, when Reuven b'choriato kochi v'reishis oni, you were my first, and I expected so much of you. But pachas kamayim ol tosar, ki olisa mishkevei avicho. The problem with you, Reuven, you run off at the mouth. You do things, you talk, you say things before you think, and you let your mind just let your actions speak before you assess what you're about to say, the effect it might have on the future. You don't think before you talk, and you don't realize what's about to happen. It happened with Mishir Yisrael. But of course, Reuven, we see later on in the next parasha of Miketz, when he says, Al techetu vayelet velo shimatem, and he tells his brothers, I told you we never should have done what we did to Yosef, and he expresses a certain level of tshuva that we see, and God takes note of that. And Moshe Rabbeinu understands the growth of Reuven through the 40 years in the Midbar. But the question is, what does he say? What is the message of Yehi Reuven v'al yamos? Of course, we know what Rashi says, that Yehi be'olam hazeh v'al yamos be'olam haba. But the truth of the matter is, what occurred to me initially was that since Reuven decided to live Eivar Yarden, if there's great safety in numbers, if he lives in Eretz Yisrael, there's a tremendous amount of safety to live among your own people with all the other Shvatim to help you in case of any trouble. You're surrounded by your own people, and that there's a great safety in that. But Reuven chose to live Eivar Yarden, and that puts him among Ammon and Moab, his great enemies. And if he's living out there without the protection of his fellow brethren, the other Shvatim, he's subject to attack. He's subject to great problems in the future. And so Moshe is saying to him, this was the thought, the way I looked at it, that it says, Reuven, you made a decision to live Eivar Yarden. Yechi Reuven v'al Yamos, you should live and be well, but you don't know what you're getting yourself into. But the Malba makes an interesting point over here. It says, Yechi Reuven v'al Yamos, is that Reuven wanted to show that he has such unbelievable bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has grown to the point where he wanted to show that if he lives Eivar Yarden among all the Goyim, amidst all the Ammon and Moab, where certainly it would seem to be a very dangerous place to live, I have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have such great faith in God that he promised to protect us and gave us the land of Eivar Yarden, that'll be considered as if it was in Eretz Yisrael and have the protection of Hashem, as the same as the people who are living in Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, but by God, he says, Reuven and God lived Eivar Yarden, Baruch Marchiv God. What is the bracha that goes together with Reuven and God? They made a decision to stay Eivar Yarden. What the Malbim points out also, Baruch Marchiv God, means they took one on some level. They decided because they needed so much grazing land, not for their own good to stay Eivar Yarden necessarily, totally, but because they figured if they stayed Eivar Yarden and God would grant them permission to stay there, that would leave the pie to be divided instead of 12 ways, to be divided only in 9.5 ways, which would afford 9.5 Shvatim to have a greater piece of land in the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is an amazing factor in thinking about the growth. And that's what I'm focusing on, is the growth of certain Shvatim. We don't have a chance to do all the Shvatim, but this is a major growth process in Reuven and God. And then we get to the second one is Yehuda. Why after Reuven comes Yehuda? First Reuven, of course, because he's the Bechor, but Yehuda next, because these two, Reuven and Yehuda, were the ones who did tshuva and did it publicly. Reuven admitted, his brother said it openly, that he, al techetu vayelet, and Yehuda, who said, vayomer tzakam imeni, by the Maisa of Tamar, that was a tremendous, in terms of saying it publicly to everybody, to understand. He saw everybody, and God said, this is a leader. But it says, viz zos lihuda, everything I said to Reuven, Vizos Lihuda, the same thing applies to you, that you should be Yehi Yehuda V'al Yamos V'hi Mispar, because Yehuda, since Yehuda Ato Yoducha Achecho, as Yaakov said, you will be the leader in Atia Voshilo, until you will be the leader, there will always be a leader, M'chokek Mibein Raglov, there will always be a leader in Klal Yisrael from Shevet Yehuda. There wasn't always, even in the time of Shaul or the time of Malchus Beis Yisrael, but there was always a leader from Klal Yisrael, from the Shevet of Yehuda, Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda, will always be a leader. And Yehuda was that type of person also who comes next. But from all the growth that we see with Reuven, Yehuda pretty much stays the same because he was straight as an arrow. He was good from the beginning and good to the end, but next comes the greatest change of any one of the Shvatim. I highlighted before Shevet Shimon, and he was lumped together, Shimon v'Levi Achim, but we see one thing that was very important to notice. When they came before Yosef, and Yosef chose to take away one of the brothers and lock him up, to take him away so that he wanted to take away the greatest of the rabble-rousers, the one that gives that little shtuck all the time that lights the fire. He took away Shimon. Levi was his minion, a little brother who, not his little brother, but a younger brother who did whatever Shimon told him to do. But Levi saw the light. From Levi comes Kehath and Amram and Moshe and Aaron. And they, by the time that they came around, Shevet Levi understood that the need for leadership, the need for appreciation of life, as opposed to Vayisnaklula, Hosola, Hamiso, he realized, Shevet Yehuda realized the error of their ways and did a tremendous tshuva. And when it came down to the Egel, when Moshe said, Mila Shem Elai, Vayesfu Elov Kol B'nei Levi, the tribe of Levi gathered to him, that showed that Levi had changed. But then comes the next thing, which is shows the greatness of Levi. We know that Levi had Klecha Mos Mecheros Sehem, Sodom Al Tavon Afshi. They were great, violent people, Shimon and Levi. But Levi, the Gemara tells us on Kufnon Vav in Gemara Shabbos, how one is born on certain days of the week, and it highlights in the Divrei Torah that somebody was born on a Tuesday, which is Ma'adim, which is Mars, and has a violent nature, he should channel his aggression into being a butcher or a mile or something where he has the ability to let out his aggression somehow in a positive manner. How did Levi do that? Well, when the Maisa Egel happened, and when Moshe said, Mila Shem Elai Vayetzhu Elov Kol B'nei Levi, and Levi gathered, all the B'nei Levi came, and Moshe said, Ivru Voshuvu, V'hirgu Ish Es Anosho, V'ish Es Re'eyu, V'ish Es Kerovo, Levi stepped forward. He channeled his aggression in a positive way. It was Moshe saying over here, Ho'omer li'aviv li'mo lo re'isiv. They had to, some of them had to kill their own family members who were obviously in-laws, brothers-in-law, whatever it was, but family members, v'yesechav lo hikir, they were quiet. They were the places where people send Ari Miklot, where the cities of refuge, where the people who kill by accident go for rehabilitation training for the people who value life, which was Shevet Levi, which tells you that Shevet Levi did a 180-degree about-face in their attitudes, and God trusted them to be the Ari Miklot, to teach people how to sanctify life. And when the only time you could use your aggression is channeling it in the proper way, when it comes time to save Klal Yisrael, to do things in a positive manner, when God commands you to use your aggressive powers, that is the right time to do it. Otherwise, the sanctity of life takes precedence over everything. And Shevet Levi knew how to channel his aggression. And therefore, we have Moshe, who shows on one side his compassion for Klal Yisrael, but also was able to show his aggressive nature. And that is what Shevet Levi was all about. We know even in the Gemara talks about when a Kohen has to get a divorce paper, it's a get Mekusha because Shevet Levi has a temper. But the amazing thing is that Shevet Levi was able to tone it down, and rather than get violent, was always able to rein it in when it was necessary. And that's why the greatest growth of any of the Shvatim, obviously from where we see, from Shimon Alevi, Klei Chamos Mecheros Sehem, became Shevet Levi, the paradigm of peace, for Klal Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol, the Levium, the Orei HaLevium, and everything. May we live that manner. May we understand the soldiers in Israel that protect us and all that. May we hope that all the people, the Jewish nation as a people, that we're able to stand up and fight when it's necessary, but also to maintain that level of fighting for the underdog and treating life with the sanctity it does. And we see that with all the chazdeah, all the chasodim that the people do with all the great organizations, whether it's the organizations with the ambulances, or the organizations with all the other chassadim that the Jewish organizations have. We're always fighting for the underdog. But when it comes time for the state of Israel to stand up for their rights and stand up for the people of our country, we understand that sometimes Shevet Levi has to show a strong hand, and sometimes they have to show the compassionate hand. May we always use our powers in the proper channels. Have a good Yontif. And may we see, when we begin Parshas Bereishis next week, we see it with a new pair of eyes, and that's why we celebrate Simchas Torah. We begin Bereishis with a fresh pair of eyes, that we've learned the Chumash once again and see things more clearly. Have a good week.